We are really thrilled today to have with us Mindy Hocking. Now, Mindy's not literally with us. She's actually in, I believe, in Everett, Washington. Mindy is with Envision Alliance, which is another arm of International Ministries with the Alliance. She's been with Envision Mexico over the years in Ensenada and, I believe, Guadalajara. She is a graduate from Canadian Bible College, which is now called Ambrose, and has been serving with the Alliance for a while now, although you'll be able to tell she's significantly younger than I am, so it hadn't been a long while. But either way, she is there in Washington. We're privileged to have her with us. She's going to be joining us via Zoom. She will be sharing with us today as our international worker from the Christian and Missionary Alliance.
I'm sorry I can't be with you in person. It would have been lovely to have shared some fellowship and community together for a couple days, but we trust the Lord's timing and the Lord's provision in all of this. Some of you guys might be born and raised in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and others of you might be really quite new and not know a whole lot about the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. And so regardless of what category you fall into, I thought I might start with a brief introduction of what is the Christian Missionary Alliance, especially focusing on the missional side of it all. So the Christian Missionary Alliance, what are we? We are a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. This is a phrase that our president, John Stumbo, put together. And then just recently in October, I saw this kind of more amplified version that I just loved. And so I quickly scribbled it down so that I could share it when I'm speaking in churches. So what does this sentence mean? We are Christ-centered. We're all about Jesus. We believe that Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, our Coming King. We want to see Him glorified and lifted up. We want to see His name carried out to the nations. At the end of the day, it's all about Him and making Him known. And so it's all about Jesus. Acts 1:8, it's by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that He sends us on mission into the world. If He is not already there working, we do not want to go without Him. Like, we want the Holy Spirit to empower us and to move us and to use us. But it's with the work of the Holy Spirit that we do mission, and both locally as well as internationally. And we are a family. We want to do this together. The job is much too big and much too important for us to do by ourselves. Whether we're talking individually or even denominationally, we need each other and to share the gospel around the world. And like I said, it's much too important for us to attempt it by ourselves. One of the new changes within the last year, especially for those of you who are maybe more born and raised Alliance, but one of the new changes is actually now it's officially called Alliance Missions instead of International Ministries, which is what I think it was called for the last several years. But they have reverted back to Alliance Missions formally. And we have four branches of Alliance Missions. And so I'm just going to give you a quick snapshot of them each, and then I will amplify a little bit more about what is Envision, because Envision is the newest one of the four. So the first one is Access. This name is also new. This is the very typical, like what has existed from the very beginning of Alliance Missions. It's just that the name is new. And this is our church planting, church multiplication branch of Alliance Missions. So that is what they're all about. And then our next one is Comma Services, and that's Comma stands for Compassion and Mercy Association. And that is our relief work, development, disaster, you know, all of that. Like, this is a branch that caters to those kinds of needs and ministries around the world. And then we have a branch called Marketplace Ministries, and that is our business professional branch. So for me, for example, I can't, and it's Marketplace Ministries is for closed access countries. And so, for example, with my education and my I guess, more Bible-structured missionary education, it would be harder for me to go into a closed access country. But what Marketplace Ministries is that people, missionaries, go into these closed countries through their business. So whether teaching or whatever else, and they, that's basically how they get their visa and what they do while they're there. And then through their profession, they share the gospel and build connections with people. So it's a pretty cool ministry. And then the fourth one, is Envision, which is what I've been a part of these last 8 years. And Envision is about short-term mission engagement and mentorship. That's kind of our two main focuses that we have. We want to see short-term missions used for long-term kingdom advancements. So we have the four branches of Alliance Missions, and then we have three strategic priorities in our ministries. And so basically what, like, all these people talked within the Christian Mission Alliance, and they analyzed everything that we did, and then they decided that everything that we do should kind of fit into one of these three categories. The first one is that we're about serving communities. We want to have a meaningful, impactful presence wherever we are. We want to serve the whole person wherever there is need. So this, in the serving communities, you're going to see more like the disaster relief, community development, medical services, all of those kinds of things, serving the whole of the person in different parts around the world. The second strategic priority is multiplying church networks. And so, of course, we believe in the church, the church community, and we want to see the church spread around the world. And so building churches, developing pastors, that's all about. And then the third one is developing people. We want to see people's lives transformed and a holistic transformation. And we want to see transformed disciples transforming their own disciples. Like, we want to see this ripple effect go. The four branches of Alliance Missions each kind of fall, like, they have their specific niche into one of these three strategic purposes or priorities. And so, for example, Comma Services is all about serving communities. And while they might work in the other two, their niche is the serving communities. For Envision, for example, ours is all about developing people. Like, that's something that we are really passionate about and proactive in. And then, of course, Access is all about multiplying church networks. And then Marketplace Ministries, I'm not even sure where they fit. I would guess that they fit a little bit into maybe developing people. I haven't really pinpointed where they would, what strategic priority they would fall into. But that's, you see how this all ties together, hopefully. So we have four branches of Alliance Missions, three strategic priorities, but we are one Alliance family, and our heart is to see all of Jesus for all the world. Let me share a little bit about Envision. I know since it's the newest member of the Alliance family, there's still some people who are still learning about what is it that we do. And so I will try to break it down in a pretty simple way that hopefully gives you a picture of what is Envision. So one big part of Envision is that we encourage and oversee and help oversee short-term missions trips. So we have both domestic locations. You can go to one of our domestic sites and have a cross-cultural experience and engagement without leaving the United States of America. So there's lots of really cool things happening with immigrants and refugees and inner city work. So if that's something that really appeals to you, you can check into a short-term missions trip at one of our domestic sites. I think their trips usually go anywhere from a minimum of 3 days up to a week, depending on the location. And then we have our international locations, and the trips for international locations range between 1 week to 10 days, I believe, depending, of course, on how far you go, how far away you go. There's so, like, each site has its similarities, and then each site is also very unique in what their main ministries on the ground look like. So if you're really passionate about digging wells, you might want to go to Burkina Faso. But if you're really interested in working with children, then we have a couple of facilities like El Salvador or Peru that are really geared towards children, and they have children ministry. Or teaching English, you would probably choose, for example, Taipei or France. Like, they have really unique ministries there with teaching English. Some of our new, like, we're always kind of looking for new strategic locations of where to start new Envision sites. And so some of the upcoming things that are growing within Envision is that we're hoping to plant or to launch sites in Berlin and Israel and Japan. Those are the next three locations on the docket. And so super exciting things are happening in each of those places. And as soon as they get the staff, they should be hopefully hitting the ground running in those locations. And then we also have what we call specialized ministries. So there's this one couple within the Envision family, and they are presently in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is home to the only deaf university called Gallaudet University. And they are my friends who are overseeing this deaf ministries. Their biggest desire is, how can we engage the deaf and hard of hearing in missional engagement and missional living? So many special needs groups in every country, including the United States, they are among the least reached people groups. And so, and that's the same with here. And so a lot of people in the deaf and hard of hearing communities maybe have had very minimal exposure to the gospel and even less opportunity to engage in mission. And so how can we change that and strategically engage them in mission? So that's what my friends are doing in Washington, D.C., which is another unique opportunity that Envision offers. And then beyond trips, we have mentorship and development, personal development. And so I created this part of the presentation for another presentation I gave, so I'm probably going to go through it a little bit fast. If you happen to be able to read it all, great, but I'm not going to linger super long. But we offer internships from 1 month up to 12 months, or 11 months rather, and it's for all of our locations. So if anyone is interested in going, then the internship usually includes some development and discipleship, as well as, of course, practical service on the field wherever you go. This is for both domestic as well as international locations. And then we have what is called a residency program, which is a two-year commitment. And this is for anyone who, this program is really designed for anyone who thinks that the Lord might be calling them into ministry, whether church ministry or international ministry. We've designed this very strategic program where they're on the field in whatever place, serving the Lord. But then also there's a very structured program to prepare them for development, so that when they complete the 2 year residency, they can more easily be ready to move into active ministry. Again, whether back in the States or internationally, so it's a really cool program that I would encourage you to consider if that sounds interesting. And then we have the Give Back program, which is for retirees and experienced professionals. We believe that age does not need to limit people from the mission field. And so, and we believe that our older members of our churches have some really significant, important things to offer on the mission field. And so not only a wealth of experiences, but just knowledge and different connection opportunities. And so we've created this Give Back program for people who might be interested in still serving even in the retirement or whatever the situation might be. So that was Envision. If you guys have any questions about Envision at all, like how to engage with Envision, whether for missions trips or for internships or residency or whatever, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. If I were with you, of course, I'd be sticking around for questions. But in this circumstance, I would say feel free to reach out to Pastor Sean. He's got my email and phone number, and I would love the opportunity to talk with you guys and answer any questions you might have. And then, of course, I didn't touch on this, but then, of course, like there's also the long, everything I mentioned for Envision are the short-term options. And then there is the long-term options, which is what I was, which is an Alliance missionary serving with Envision at one of our sites. So that's also an option in case that's something that is of interest to any of you guys as well. So I served as an Alliance missionary from 2004 to 2006 in Germany at the Black Forest Academy. And then I have been serving with Envision Mexico since 2012 until this past November. And now I am officially on home assignment. And I'm seeking the Lord for what is next. I'm not going back to Mexico at least that's not the plan for the time being. And I'm seeking the Lord for what ministry he might have for me next. I would welcome any prayer you want to offer on that behalf. At this point, I'm also slated to join the Envision Dominican Republic site in mid-May, in about 3 weeks' time. Theoretically, I'm still going, and I'll be there until mid-July, unless things don't change, unless things fall apart and get canceled. As of right now, the DR isn't letting foreigners into the country, so that, of course, has to open up before I can buy a ticket and plan on going. So we'll see what happens, but that is the plan presently, and I'm hoping that comes to fruition. So that's a little bit about my life and I guess a snapshot of what I've done to some degree in Mexico and just even a snapshot of, I guess, my missionary engagement with the Christian Missionary Alliance. I started attending my Alliance church home in 1989. And so in the 31 years that I've been a part of my church community in Snohomish, Washington, the Lord has used this church to shape and disciple and encourage me and guide me from my childhood to until now. And I hope that many of you guys have had a really similar, rich, whether, you know, maybe not the same time frame, but like that you had a really rich church experience presently and hopefully even in the past with your church families. It was at my church where I first learned about missions and the faith promise, and it was here at my church where the Lord taught me what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and how he desires to use my abilities and my offerings and my obedience for his work and his purposes. And that's, you know, offerings and abilities, whether that's financial or acts of service or anything else. And so it was really nurtured, I guess, in this church family, which has been a huge blessing to me. The words that we use convey images, of course, and the words that we read, especially in the Bible, you know, very intentionally create images too. In the Bible, there are a lot of legal-oriented words. A few of those words would be like commission, commandments, law, precepts, decrees, all of these things. And these are all very valid, biblical, God-ordained words. But I guess one question I would like to just pitch to you guys is, what if we considered all of these, instead of seeing these things as commands and things that we must do, words that come from the righteous judge, what if we consider them from the perspective of God the Father? How would that change things? I think if we consider that all these things happen or all these things come from God the Father, then I think what it does is it becomes more of an invitation. Now I know that fathers also have to command their children to task and obedience, like that has to happen. The father disciplines his children, but the heart of a father, hopefully every father, or most fathers rather, a good father, the heart of a good father, and certainly our Heavenly Father, is love and relationship. He invites his children to join him, to know his heart, to participate in the work. And sure, of course, we can choose not to participate. We can receive You know, like if we choose not to participate in what the Father is inviting us to do, then there's going to be consequences, and then we'll miss out potentially on something that's really great. And that's a choice. But God the Father is constantly inviting us to join him in kingdom work, whether it's locally, nationally, or internationally. And the question is will we join him in that? Joining the Father in kingdom work is going to involve the use of my abilities and obedience and offerings of all shapes and sizes. Now, I know some people seem to ooze talent. They touch it and it seems to come out perfect pretty quickly and easily for them. While maybe others of us feel like we have limited amounts of gifts, or maybe our gifts come and go like with the tide, so to speak. And so regardless if you would say that you have a little bit of gifts or a lot of gifts to offer the Father, take courage that he has this gift of taking our offerings, no matter how big or how small they might be, and expanding them to accomplish abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, as it states in Ephesians 3. Very much like the story in the video, the girl who offered $1, and from $1, over 1 million youth have gone to this camp, and so many have believed in Jesus just because she gave up $1. Like, that's just an incredible story. And the Bible is also chock full of these kinds of stories. For example, in the Old Testament, there are three teenagers, Joseph, David, and Daniel, who all faithfully submit their lives to the Lord. And despite the major hardships that they endure or the giants that they're facing in their life, and then the Lord takes them through their submission and their obedience, he takes them to become ultimately key leaders of Egypt, Israel, and Babylon. Pretty cool. And then, of course, there's the New Testament story of the widow who Jesus honors. The widow who gave her last two coins to the Lord in the offering. Now, we don't know what happens to her story after that little interaction with Jesus, but we do know, based on the Bible, that God saw her and that God delights to care for the vulnerable people. That is his heart. And so we can be confident that whatever happened next in her life, that the Lord took care of her and honored her. And then, of course, there's the story of the little boy who gave his simple lunch to Jesus, his simple lunch of 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little fish, and got to be a part of something so much more enormous than anyone could have expected. When we surrender to God who we are and the things that we have, God uses it to accomplish his purposes. He accomplishes things that will exceed what we can ask or imagine, as the verse says in Ephesians. And it's not very likely that we're going to have any idea when we're giving our gifts to the Lord, when we're giving our offerings to the Lord. It's not like we're going to have any idea, like, if this is going to be, you know, just a time when the Lord is going to use our gifts in a small, faithful, steadfast way, or if it's going to be something that's going to be a catalyst for something great and amazing. Only the Lord knows that, and he's just asking us, inviting us to participate and to trust him with the results. I have a couple friends that I want to share about. One story I want to tell you about are friends who are here locally, and then one story is of friends who are in Mexico that I got to meet while I was down there in Guadalajara. So my first friends, they were feeling, over the last year, they have felt this increased compellment, conviction to reach their neighbors, to get to know and reach their neighbors. They live in a very typical neighborhood here in the United States, where increasingly, like, people don't really get to know their neighbors, don't interact with them, don't maybe even know their names. And that was their situation as well. And they were just feeling this conviction that the Lord was asking them to step outside their front door and get to know their neighbors. And so after some prayer and seeking the Lord, they decided to remodel their whole front patio, which they just did this past fall and winter. And they did this remodel intentionally so that they can invite their neighbors to come and sit with them outside instead of where it might be a little bit safer instead of, you know, trying to invite them inside, which might be, you know, stranger danger kind of feeling. And so they created this patio, the sitting space for guests to come and sit. And then you can see, like, right in the front of the picture, they even added a fountain so that the trickling of the water could help mute the conversation from others who walk by or from the neighbors on either house on the side, just to help guard privacy. So they even thought about that. And even in the short time, I think right after they finished it, we had some rain, like just days and days of rain. But even as people were passing by with, you know, walking their pets or whatever, they already, like in a quick time, had people comment like, oh, when the weather is nice, we would love to come and sit here and talk with you. And they are, my friends are so excited about this. Like they're so excited about the potential opportunities that will come with this to reach their neighbors. And the Lord is going to use, like, I just know the Lord is going to use their intentionality and creativity to spread the hope of the gospel around their neighborhood. They didn't have to move to another country. They just instead offered their front yard and the modifications that it required to make this possible. And they offered it to the Lord, and he is going to accomplish his purposes through them, which is a really cool, really cool opportunity. And then the second story I want to tell you about is are my friends Jaime and Angela, and they're surrounded by their four kids. Jaime and Angela are both Mexican Americans, born and raised in California, and they, over the years of their growing up and whatnot, they went back and forth between Mexico and the United States to visit different family members. But they themselves had careers and had their children and had their whole life there in California, very established, when quite suddenly the Lord called them to go to Mexico and plant a church. So they left their businesses, they left behind their California family, and they uprooted their children and all of it, and they moved to Mexico. They ended up landing in a very, almost like, if you were to look at the map of Mexico, they almost landed in the very, very middle of Mexico from all directions, and in the small little town called San Diego de Alejandría. They chose this little town because it has at the point when they arrived, it had a complete lack of any evangelical church. Only the Catholic Church was there in this town, but there was no evangelical church in this little town. Plus, they also chose this town because they had a home there. It was the home, San Diego de Alejandría was the birthplace and the hometown of Jaime's father. And so they had a family home that they could move right into and establish themselves. The family connections, Jaime's family connections, allowed for him and his family to be immediately embraced by this town and be a part of them. And over the next couple of years, Jaime and Angela would repeatedly and boldly share the gospel whenever they had any opportunity to do so. They would time and time again invest in people. They would hear their stories and they would answer their questions and they would pray for them. People would seek them out even with questions, and they would take the time just to like hear them and counsel them and offer them what they could. And then when they would invite them to come to their Sunday services repeatedly, the people would suddenly pull away due to pressure from their Catholic family and friends. And at the end of 3 years, Jaime and Angela still had zero people attending their church. Each Sunday, Jaime would prepare a sermon and then end up delivering it to just his children and his wife. Needless to say, they became discouraged and they began to wonder if they should just close shop and return to California and go back to their lives up there. And it was about that time, which would have been March of 2018, that I wrote Jaime an email. I was just arriving to Guadalajara, Jalisco, which is kind of like central western part of Mexico. And I just arrived to Guadalajara and I was introducing myself by email to him and introducing Envision Mexico and what we're all about. And I told him, like, if the Lord allows, I would love one day to bring a group and serve alongside you out in your little town. I'm like, I don't know when that's going to happen. I'm like, but just so you know, like, I just wanted to say hi, and this is my hope for the future. I didn't promise anything in my email at all. Like, it was just an introduction. But Jaime told me later on that when he got my email, the Lord used that email to encourage him at the super low points of his life and ministry, to remind him that he saw him and that he cared for him and that he had a purpose for them there in that town, in that gospel-resistant town. And as things turned out, I actually did fairly quickly have a group that I was able to take out there in July of 2018. And I think, I don't know how much, on one hand, I'm not really sure how much good we did in that little town, but I think our biggest contribution, I think the reason why the Lord sent us to that little town was mostly, I would even say, to encourage and breathe life into Jaime and Angela's weary souls. And so we got to just love on them and encourage them and pray for them to persevere and hang in there. I got to meet with Jaime and Angela right before I left Guadalajara in November. And I asked them, I inquired about their church and asked them how things were going about, you know, approximately what, a year and a half after I took the group out there. And I was so thrilled to hear from Jaime and Angela that they now have 6 people attending their little church community. It's just so, so amazing that the Lord is using them, and that in their faithfulness, they're now starting to see fruit slowly but surely. God the Father invited Angela and Jaime to participate, to go and to serve and to trust in him, and they obeyed. And it's because of this participation, because they decided to participate, that God is calling new sheep into the fold. And the gospel is breaking generational and religious chains there in that little town. The path to celebration isn't always easy. And God does have a tendency for asking for complete surrender. Joseph, David, and Daniel all ended up wealthy and influential, but only after having lost everything and having endured great trials and pain. And it may be that this is the stage of life that you feel like you yourself are in. You might be left wondering in this time if God even sees you, if God even cares, if God remembers you and knows of your pain. Maybe you're just left hoping that one day God will restore and redeem your story, will redeem the season. And if that is you, if you are in this kind of a situation right now, I just want to encourage you that just like in the story of Hagar in Genesis 16, the Lord showed Hagar, revealed himself to Hagar, that he is a God who sees. So take courage that the Lord does see you. He is still El Roy, the God who sees. He is not blind. He is not deaf. He is not inactive. He is present and working in your situation, and he knows the pain that you are in. So keep your eyes on him. Stay the course. He has a gift. And it's his heart, it's his very heart to redeem and restore that which is broken and lost. And he loves to honor the faithful. So I want to just encourage you to keep going, to hang in there. And maybe this isn't where you're at. Maybe life is really good and steady right now for you, which is awesome. That's wonderful. If so, the Lord wants to use your faithful surrender and your faithful obedience. How many of you guys have read the Chronicles of Narnia series? I love that series. And I think I read it probably the whole series every other year approximately. It's such a good one. And if you haven't read it anytime recently or not at all, I really encourage you to read it. If you're one of the people who happen to have lots of free time, this is a great series to add into your daily schedule, or like whether as an individual or even to read it together as a family. It's so good. So without giving too much of a spoiler alert, in the very last book, Aslan repeatedly calls for everyone to come further up and further in. That's a phrase that he uses multiple times. And I find myself thinking about this phrase in regards to my own life. God the Father desires for us to know him more and more. He invites us to give him more and more of ourselves, and to withhold less and less. This can sound immensely intimidating, which I so understand. There are times when I feel that tug from the Lord to take another step forward, which includes more risk and more surrender. And I'm just like, Lord, like, really? Like, we have to go even deeper. But the Lord is always going to be calling us further up and further in, just like Aslan in that book. And on the flip side of surrender, in John 10:10, the Father promises an abundant life. Not just a mediocre life, not just a steady life. He promises an abundant life when we surrender our lives to him, when we keep following him, when we keep laying things down before him. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of thieves wanting to come and destroy our lives, he promises an abundant life. Something only he can do. In conclusion, the call of discipleship is an invitation, not a command. Jesus is still calling individuals to come and follow him. One cannot be a disciple without surrendering and giving up that which we think is ours. So what is Jesus inviting you to do or to offer him? If you don't have an immediate answer, that's okay. I would encourage you to pray about it and to think about it. It might be that he's asking you or inviting you to give more monetarily. It might be that you'll receive a prompting to step outside the front door and get to know your neighbors. Of course, right now it's still under social distancing laws, but it might be something like that, being proactive to get to know your neighbors and to love them and invest in those relationships. It might be that the Lord is going to call you to go somewhere and do something that might be pretty different than what you're doing now. So regardless of what the invitation might be, we can know that it is an opportunity to join the Father in the work that he is already doing, to join him in his kingdom work. And that invitation is pretty incredible. There are times when I just marvel at the fact that he chooses to use me. Like, I'm no one special. I have my shortcomings and my failings, just like everyone else. And yet, like, I'm not the brightest. I'm not the most talented. And I'm sure that, you know, even David was a simple shepherd boy, the youngest of his brothers, you know, and Joseph, too, was one of the youngest of his brothers. And just, like, simple people. And yet, when you surrender your lives to the Lord, He does these incredible things that we can't even predict, that we can't even imagine, and yet the Lord is so good, and how gracious and loving of him to invite us to participate. And so I just want to encourage you guys to be actively praying and looking for ways to engage further with God, to engage further in your discipleship with God. And to keep offering the Lord even more of who you are and the things that you have. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love for us, Lord, and I just thank you that you invite us to join you in your work. How great and amazing is that? Who are we that you are mindful of us, Lord? We are weak and often disobedient and stubborn sheep, Lord, and yet you are the good shepherd. You are the good Father. He keeps calling us and inviting us to join you, to participate in your work and in your great plans, Lord. And that's just such an awesome privilege that you give for us, Lord. You invite us to preach the gospel to the nations, Lord, to bind up the brokenhearted and to claim liberty for captives, Lord, and to comfort those who mourn. You invite us to know your Son and to walk in the fellowship of your Spirit. You invite us to love others, Lord, and to love you. And again, I just say thank you. I just pray, Lord, that you will be honored and glorified through this church family, Lord. I pray that they will be a beacon in their communities and in their neighborhoods. I just pray your blessing over this church family, Lord, and even over myself, Lord, that you would just continue to use me and be glorified in and through our lives, Lord. And for those, Lord, who might be struggling, who might be in a season of great pain, Lord, I just pray that they would really take heart that you are present and that you are with them, that you are well aware and working all things out in your time and according to your good plans, Father. We just thank you and we praise you and we love you. And it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.